Rule number four, turn your wounds into wisdom. When I was 15, I learned that people don't just pray for the weak. They pray on the weak. Ever since then, I always had a hard time connecting and trusting individuals beyond the surface level. I remember that day vividly when I became the prey. Even though most of the events are hazy, what I recall still haunts me. It started off like any other Wednesday. I actually stayed at school the entire day, which for me was rare. I worked overtime the night before, and safe to say, by the end of class, I was exhausted. At my school, we didn't have the yellow school buses that drove everyone home. We had the regular transit line that anyone could catch. The only difference was that we typically had the same drivers who repeated their respective route throughout the week. I was pretty familiar with the guy whose bus I got on today. We never chatted or anything, but you know how you've seen someone enough at their place of work that you unconsciously build a level of trust with them? It was one of those situations for me. So that particular day, I fell asleep while riding home and missed my stop. This would have been fine if the bus route didn't stop running after a certain time. The bus driver woke me up after he reached his last stop. End of the line! Wait, what? I replied, now fully alert but confused. Huh? Wait, where am I? I asked nervously, not ever coming to this part of town. You must have slept past your stop, he replied. Shit! I said loudly. This line doesn't pick back up until the morning, he said, with the door still open, waiting for me to exit. As I walked off the bus, I noticed that my phone was dead, and being that this was a residential area, I didn't see any place I could go and charge it. Now, this was before Uber and Lyft was around, so public transit was typically your go-to method of getting around if you didn't drive. Cabs were around, but they would charge an arm and a leg just to go up the street. Hey, do you have a phone I could use? I asked. Sure, he said, pausing for a moment before asking me if I'd be okay out here. I'm not really familiar with this part of town, I replied. He took a look around the neighborhood. How about I drop you off? I just need to take the bus into the station and grab my car. Sure. Thanks, man. I didn't think twice about it, honestly. I got back on the bus and took a seat across from him. I like your shoes, he said. Thanks, I replied. You dress really nice. I like that outfit you had on last week, too. It was the Sean John outfit with the J's. I didn't even remember what outfit I had on last week. Hell, I couldn't remember the last time I spent the entire day at school. I appreciate it, broski, I replied. It didn't strike me as strange at the moment that out of the hundreds of people he must pick up daily, that he would be able to remember that. He was about 6'1", 235 pounds, maybe early 40s. Not sure if he was Indian or Afro-Latino, but definitely not 100% black. He looked well-kept and pretty unassuming. Man, I felt lucky that he was so nice. Shit could have turned out so bad if I fell asleep on someone else's bus. I waited outside and used his phone to call my girlfriend Denise, letting her know what happened. I knew she'd be at my house waiting for me and didn't want her worrying about where I was at. My mom probably thought I was at work since I typically didn't make it home until about 10 p.m. most nights, and it was only a little after 6:30. As he came out of the garage, I remember thinking, what a nice car he had, and driving buses must pay very well. For some reason, it made me even more comfortable with the idea that I wouldn't get chopped up into a bunch of little pieces. I need to stop by my house and change clothes, he said. No problem, I responded. As I walked into his apartment, he directed me to the living room and told me that I could have a seat on the couch. I'd only be a second, he said. It was a two-bedroom apartment, so I figured he had a roommate or something, seeing the door closed and heard the TV on. He stuck his head in that room, informing whoever was in there that he was home and asked if they needed anything. You didn't put my clothes in the dryer? He asked.
They just finished a second ago,
a woman in the room replied. She had a nasally voice and sounded elderly, so I assumed it was his mother. Did you take your medicine yet? He asked her.
No, bring me some water,
she responded. He came into the living room informing me of what I've already overheard. I need to toss my clothes in the dryer. It shouldn't take no more than 40 minutes, he said. Can I charge my phone? I replied. Sure, let me see it. I handed him my phone and he plugged it up for me, placing it on top of the counter. The apartment was on the south side of town and quite a ways away from where I stayed. He went into his room for a sec and came out in his socks and boxers. As he walked in the kitchen, he stuck his head out and asked if I drink. Yeah, I drink, I replied. Now, I'm only 15 and I've gotten drunk a few times before, so I wasn't technically lying. What I found odd was the fact that he picked me up from my high school, so he had to know I was underage. Light or dark? Either or, I replied. You smoke? Sometimes, I said. He walked over to me and sat so close he might as well have been on my lap. He lit a blunt and passed it to me. I took a few puffs as he watched intently before I started coughing up a storm. He began to rub on my back, which I didn't think much of at the time, considering I was too focused on catching my breath. You have some water? I asked. He walked back to the kitchen, laughing hysterically. It took him about 10 minutes before he returned with a glass of liquid that I assumed to be what I requested. My throat was extremely dry from the marijuana. Without thinking twice about it, I took a big gulp. Whoo, shit! I yelled, realizing that this wasn't water at all. It burned so bad it had to be straight alcohol. Considering how fast it went down, I felt as though I wanted to puke. Bear with me. Somewhere between the weed and the nauseous feeling after drinking the liquor he gave me, things aren't very clear, but this is what I can recollect. My body began to feel weak. I started drooling. I felt my heart beating intensely. My breathing became heavy, spinning. The room began to spin rapidly. My vision and mobility skills started to go into disarray. I remember being wet. I remember how hot I was. The heat was so intense, unbearable. I felt as though I was melting. Then, darkness. Pulling and tugging, I felt like a rag doll. Then I began to float. My feet were off the ground, but I was moving. Then it felt like I was falling. A gust of wind, almost as if I was plummeting from a skyscraper. Then darkness. My body was trapped under a mountain of weight. I tried to wiggle my way out from under this animal that was mauling me, and the more I fought to be free, the harder the fights became. Then, darkness. I felt this pressure inside of my rectum and the force of something thrusting inside of me. My eyes almost popped out of my head, and though they were wide open, everything was pitch black.
My face was pressed firmly inside of a pillow, and I couldn't breathe. I panicked,
kicking and screaming for help. My body, my muffled screams were drowned out by the loud music playing in the background. I tried to fight, but my body was limp and I was too disoriented to do anything. I thought this was the end for me. My short life flashed before my eyes, then darkness. The thrusting got faster and harder, then a pain on my earlobe, a loud grunt, then as if I was in a building that was being demolished, a mountain of weight came down on me. Once it was over, I couldn't stop shaking. I cried uncontrollably. I began to hyperventilate, not understanding what just happened. I attempted to get up. I attempted to get out of the bed, but my legs were weak and I could barely stand. I fell to the ground and crawled around this dim lit space looking for my clothing that was scattered across the room. And all of a sudden, a glaring light flashed, and then several more preceded it. I looked up at this man who now resembled what I can only describe as the embodiment of the boogeyman. His hair was wild, eyes were bloodshot red, and wore a devilish grin. I felt something slowly trickle from my butt and down my thigh. He was taking pictures of me.
You are 18, right?
He asked while smoking a cigarette in one hand and his camera pointed at me with the other one. I tried to scream, but my words didn't come out coherently. He got up and began to walk towards me. I tried to crawl to what I thought was the bedroom door, but ended up being the walk-in closet. I tried to scream help, but nothing audible came out. Then darkness. When I woke up, he was performing oral sex on me with his fingers inside of my anus. Still in a daze, but gathering enough strength to now walk, I screamed, "Stop!" He, unaware of me regaining alertness, he tried to kiss me in an effort to shut me up. I bit his lip, causing him to push me off the bed onto the floor. I slowly began to put on my jeans. My legs were so sore and I could barely move with the agonizing pain. I don't know what happened that led up to me being naked in his room. As I put on my shirt, I balled up my underwear, putting it in my back pocket. He casually made small talk as if this was a consensual encounter. As I limped towards the door, he gave me some money to get home and said,
"I called you a cab. They should be outside by now. Here's some cash. It should be more than enough."
I put my head down, afraid to look him in the eyes. Before I can get outside, he reached his hands in my pocket. Feeling too weak to fight, I just slowly turned around to brace myself for what was to come next. He pulled out my underwear, taking a big sniff and telling me,
"Let me keep these."
With the door still ajar, I made my escape, leaving there a completely different person than I walked in. As I sat in the cab, I felt wetness in my jeans. I felt as though I was urinating out of my rectum, and no matter how hard I attempted to clench, it wouldn't stop. The ride home was so long, and I wanted to tell. I contemplated telling Denise, but I was too ashamed and feeling somewhat to blame for it. I just kept it to myself. When I got home, I went directly to the bathroom. Feeling sick, I stuck my head in the toilet, vomiting uncontrollably. Thank God by this time, everyone was in their rooms, and I had a separate entrance when my mom converted the back of the house into my own mini apartment. It was well over midnight. I sat in the shower as blood ran down the drain and cried for hours. I stopped taking the bus to school and ended up transferring to an entirely different from the following year. After that day, I no longer believed in heroes and vowed that I would rather be the villain before I become the victim ever again. I felt so many emotions. I felt alone and ashamed. I didn't feel like I was human, and my self-esteem was in tatters. I felt as though it was my fault, and if I would have done X, Y, Z differently, then none of it would have happened. I developed this sense of needing to be in control of everything and everybody. Giving up control wasn't an option. I refused to be vulnerable again. The first sign of Duris, and they will attack. So I went through life making sure I fought back even when there wasn't a reason to. Someone hurts me, I hurt them twice as bad. I didn't have boundaries. I lost the ability for a long, long time to empathize for others. I mean, look what happened when I let someone quote unquote empathize for me. This is my testimony. Call me crazy, cynical, narcissistic, a sociopath, whatever arbitrary title that deflects from having to acknowledge that I'm just scared, anxiety-ridden, hurt, and tormented by the egregious acts of another human being. To be completely transparent, I miss wanting to be Superman, Iron Man, the good guy. So step one is admitting, acknowledging, and acceptance. I have no idea what step two is just yet, but I feel like it's repentance. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe for notifications. Tune in next week for more amazing content. Join my Patreon, where I'll be answering your questions and dropping exclusive content. Human trafficking is a situation in which an individual is compelled to work or engage in commercial sex through use of force, fraud, or coercion. If the individual is under the age of 18 and engaging in commercial sex, they are experiencing it regardless if force, fraud, or coercion is also taking place. If you believe you may have information about a trafficking situation, call the National Human Trafficking Hotline, toll-free hotline at 1-888-373-7888. Anti-trafficking hotline advocates are available 24/7 to take reports of potential human trafficking. Text the National Human Trafficking Hotline at 233-733. Message and data rates may apply.